Episode 368.
When they're ready to buy, you're in front of them. You're the person that's been providing them value this entire time. You've already built trust in them. You've already established your expertise in their eyes, and they're more likely to choose you.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, Carm Capriato here, and welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Now, I have a question for you. Are you looking for value, ideas, and content that will help push you forward to your goals, your big vision? Well, you're in the right place, my friend. With over 400 collective episodes, we bring you the power of the spoken word and the essentials for the forever student. Hey, Federal Moguls Garage Gurus supports Remarkable Results Radio and brings it to you free each week. Can't make it to a hands-on training session? Well, Garage Gurus Online provides you with 24/7 access to the high-quality training you need to succeed online, on-site, and on-demand. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, are you in touch with our remarkable community? Well, get inside our ecosystem at remarkableresults.biz/social. Here's a shout-out to new Facebook friends, Thomas Ciortino, Nick Stoffel, and Stephen Bernard, and LinkedIn connections, Chris Wolf and Terry Collins. Hey, I've cooked up this great series called Shop Talk, and you're about to experience volume number 4. 3 shop owners getting together and talking shop. Joining me in this episode is Doug Callahan from Vic's Service Center, Wainwright, Alberta, Canada, David Roman from Done With Care Auto Repair in Merriam, Kansas, and Bill DeBoyer Jr., AAM, from DeBoyer's Auto Sales and Service in Hamburg, New Jersey. The big storyline here is gaining new customers through marketing automation. We're talking lead generation through email automation, sales funnels, and creating fresh organic content, and so much more. David Roman has a great stat on what his customers spend on their second visit to his shop. You gotta hear it. Find the panel's talking points and special links to their previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E368. And there's a treasure trove of content on the website. Just use the search features. Hey, share this episode with a friend and learn to add podcasts to your weekly learning regime, because we must be forever students. Hey, thanks for your trust to bring you the best aftermarket talk radio. Hey, warm welcome to Doug Callahan from Vic's Service Center in Wainwright, Alberta. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Carm.
And David Roman, Done With Care Auto Repair from Merriam, Kansas.
Hi.
And Bill DeBoyer Jr., AAM, from DeBoyer's Auto Sales and Service in Hamburg, New Jersey.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Glad to have you here, Bill, Doug, David. It's Shop Talk 4, Anything Goes, open roundtable discussion. I sit back, watch you guys go at it. This has been a great series, and every one of them has been different. And I know that you three have some things going on. David, what's like the burning thing going on inside of your shop?
Car count, right? It's marketing is always the name of the game. I talk to a lot of different shops and just to brainstorm and get ideas, and everybody seems to have the same issue with car count. And if you don't fall into one of four categories, you seem to struggle with car count. Nobody seems to have a good answer for it. You know, I started looking in other industries and how they were generating leads to get cars, to get customers, new customers. That's the direction that I decided to go. I don't know if it'll work. It's worked in every other industry. It's been tried, but if it doesn't work in the automotive industry, I guess you'll know. I'll be out of business in a year or two. But if it works, I'll be sleeping on a giant pile of money. We'll see.
So what is this? What is the strategy? What's this thing that they're talking about bringing client car count in?
So it's the idea of lead generation. So it's putting out advertising with the specific intent of adding value to the customer. So you're enticing them with something that then puts them into a specific funnel. So it could be something like a free report, a booklet, something like that. You release the advertising through Facebook, through Google. There's a thousand different ways. It sends them to a landing page, specifically where they can download. You capture their information. They can download some kind of report, something like that. And then at that point, they might not be interested in automotive repair, but you're at that point building a relationship with them. And you send them down a funnel where you're just, you sending them a little bit more information, a little bit more information. And when they're ready to buy, you're in front of them. You're the person that's been providing them value this entire time. You've already built trust in them. You've already established your expertise in their eyes. And they're more likely to choose you. Because advertising right now is you blast it out there and you're hoping that it falls in front of enough eyes that actually need your service at the time they see the advertising. And that ends up being the problem, is you waste all of those people who you got in front of that may not need your services immediately. So they, you know, they get that postcard in the mail because you spent thousands on EDDM or Mudlick mailers or whatever, right? You get in front of them, they see you and they go, oh, I don't need anything right now. They chuck that. And that was a wasted whatever dollar, gone. Instead, if you target a specific audience, of course, you got to have the right person, but you're going to target a specific audience. You're going to get in front of them and provide them some kind of value. Give them something. You're going to give that away. And hopefully that puts them down a series of emails or whatever that will establish you as the expert, as the trusted source. And then if they do need something, they come to you.
It sounds a lot like inbound marketing. I mean, I switched our company. We took that direction probably about 4 years ago now, and it's been working out beautifully for me. I had the same challenges that you had, David. It actually started out more on the sales side of the business, which we have since pivoted away from doing car sales. I couldn't compete with those large dealerships and their big ad budgets. And we designed, went to HubSpot, and started this inbound methodology. Actually, Ratchet and Wrench wrote an article on it and how we practice that. But it's doing what you're doing and constantly creating good quality content to attract the people to you. And Google and all the search engines love that stuff, especially on the local level for small businesses. It's worked out really well for us. I mean, some of the things that have changed over the years, I mean, you know, using the lead magnets to get people to submit their information is kind of, people are more hesitant now than they were in the past. But at the same time, you can still provide that content and then they're coming to you for the resources.
Definitely one aspect of it is creating content and that always ends up being the issue, is that you put all this content out into the ethos and you're hoping that somebody sees it, where that content can then be like specifically targeted. You know, you take Facebook advertising, you can narrow that down to an age demographic, geographic demographic, how much money they make, what kind of car they drive. You can narrow that down to a very, very specific group. And then just a matter of enticing them to then provide that information to you to then establish a relationship. Again, you're not trying to sell them anything up front. It's the delayed sale. It's that idea, delaying the sale as much as possible to hopefully when they do need something, you've already established that trust with them. And now the rapport building, once they get into the shop, becomes, I guess, not less important, but it's already been established. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. It's, you know, you're talking about capturing information and doing a nurture campaign on the backside and bringing them into your funnel. And actually, HubSpot, and I hate to go back to HubSpot, it's actually the inbound methodology, but they switched it over this year from a funnel to a flywheel, if you will. And they want to take all those. With the flywheel, you want to get it spinning as fast as you can and have as less customer friction points within the system to keep them coming back into you. And Brian Halligan and Dharmesh did an excellent keynote from last month. It's on YouTube. I'd encourage everybody to look at it because it's exactly what David's talking about, to bring people into your wheelhouse and surprise and delight customers and spread the word more organically.
I'm talking with Anthony Frohwine, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Anthony, when you're in a shop, are you talking tech as well as product?
Whenever I do a physical training, there is product incorporated part of the whole training overall, but it's to maximize the time, whether it's diagnostics, whether it's inspection, whether it's installation. So that way they understand that, hey, by skipping that extra 20 seconds by putting on this set of brake pads and not replacing the hardware, hey, this might be the reason why that I'm getting comebacks. And usually being a ex-shop owner, I understand that the first time you get paid, the second time's free.
And so are the techs really starving for this information?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times you have, we live in an industry where I like to say they cut the roast in half and they don't understand why, but they do it just because they've always been doing that type of an industry. So, you know, to break it through that, they've been doing something for 30 years and they see as they haven't been doing anything wrong, but it starts to open up their eyes to, hey, you know what? It wasn't necessarily wrong, but there is a better way.
So you're really talking to me about an aha moment.
Exactly.
And tell me, when you see that happening more and more from technicians that you're out with, how does it make you feel?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you really feel like you're giving back to the community overall. But ultimately, the way I tell them, you know, I look at every single vehicle that I worked on prior to, or I had my customer, just like I put my family in that vehicle, I look at it as I'm keeping everybody else that much safer because the job's getting done correctly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. How do you build trust in just a funnel system? What's the campaign feel like? You know, trust usually means I've had a great experience. You've done exactly what I've wanted. I'm building a relationship. I've shaken hands. I've seen people. I've seen the shop. Their trust builds without anyone ever stepping foot in your place. How does that trust factor work?
We have a review platform that we utilize to solicit reviews after work orders close out. And part of that package posts those reviews on Facebook and stuff. And what I do is I'll pick them up and I'll boost them that much more. That way, it's like an organic way of getting in front of people and building that social proof with people.
I think, Carm, you need to look at what you do on a weekly basis. You put out great content to shop owners, and shop owners, without ever having met you, trust you. They trust what you say. They trust the information you're providing. But again, they've never met you, never shaken your hand. They haven't met you at any conference, you see. But you've already built. You've built that rapport with them. You've built trust in their eyes. You're the expert in their eyes. Does that make sense? And that's essentially what you're doing. You're getting in front of very specific people with the intent of building value, providing value, and building that rapport with them over time, delaying that sale. So then you're the only person. You're the only option at that point. It's not after the sale, because providing great service, everybody provides great service. The ones that don't usually go out of business pretty quickly, or they get a bad reputation very quickly, right? So everybody tries to give great service. That's not enough anymore. Now it's just getting in front of them on a consistent basis. And if you're trying to pull in brand new customers, that's where it gets really difficult, because your message, and that's a completely other topic too, is building your message. That message may fall on deaf ears 99 out of 100 times. And you're just hoping that you might get that one time in front of that right person to have them come in. This is designed, just like Bill's talking about, to target that down and get that to, instead of being a 1% conversion, now it's maybe 10, 20, 30% conversion is not unheard of. And this is not new. This has been done in industry after industry after industry. I'm literally copying all of this information from somebody else. But I don't see that this taught specifically like this in the automotive industry.
David, have you made the leap to do this?
I'm still working on it. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be. Software-wise, I got to find the right software. And I think, Bill, you and I talked a little bit
online. We need to connect offline, yeah.
Yeah. But I knew you were going to get on this podcast. So I figured we'd just do it now and talk about it now.
Yeah. So what do you recommend, Bill?
David's bringing up something that's worked really, really well for us. I mean, we own the Google space organically really well. I mean, I've been blogging for probably about the past 4 years. We've got probably close to 400 web pages built out on all different topics. You know, it all comes back to what he's talking about, the outbound marketing where you're interrupting people's lives. I mean, people do not enjoy that nowadays. You know, the TV ads, the radio ads. I mean, everybody skips right through that stuff. I mean, the postcards in the mail, they end up right in the trash. You know, this is more organic. When they have a problem.
You bring up such a great point. I got to stop us for a minute. Did you ever just watch 1 hour of TV? Anybody at any point in time during the day? It is sickening to watch 1 hour worth of TV. You're watching 5 minutes of a show and 5 minutes of commercials and 5 minutes of a show. And you have to actually ask yourself at the end of the show, how were you able to take that in those little bites and really get a feel for what the story was about, what the message was? And then what happens? Then I turn my business hat on and I think, is this pissing me off as much as everybody else? And if I was the drug company that was advertising to me ad nauseum, do I care? Does it matter to me? Do I fight them? How about the Liberty Insurance commercial? They started to put a jingle at the end of them, and it was so annoying. I said, make sure we never buy Liberty Insurance. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, when people look for auto repair, if they don't already have an existing shop, I mean, they're going to Google, and even if they do, I mean, it's an opportunity to move somebody away from their current provider. I mean, when they have a pain point like brakes grinding, what does that mean? Like when they ask Google that, you want to be the person that they find to get that question answered. So that's the kind of content you want to create, whether, the big push now is to create video content. I mean, people are consuming video a lot more than they are sitting there reading blog posts these days. But, that's what the search engine's like.
So I type in brakes grinding in Hamburg, New Jersey, Bill, where you're from, and you come up on,
we'll own the top spot. Yeah.
When I click on that top spot, does it go back to your site and say brakes grinding? Does it carry through? Are you going to give, as you said, a pamphlet or something to engage the person in that knowledge?
Yeah, exactly. I've written a few blog posts. I mean, one of the things, especially we've had a pretty rainy season here. A lot of people went away for vacation this summer and the cars just sat for a week. And, you know, after they came back, they drove the car and had that noise from where the brake pad sat on the rotor, and it didn't rust out there, but the rest of the rotor rusted. And, you know, that was a piece of content I wrote 2 or 3 years ago. But I mean, when people have the problem and they find the solution, they're going to end up on that blog article and they can read through what the problems are.
Are you paying for AdWords then to bring that through, or are you managing?
I do zero AdWords. It's all organic.
I want to point out what Bill is saying, and I hope everybody hears this because this drives me nuts, right? Like I buy a website. I remember this very vividly. I buy the website and they ask me, what keywords do you want to focus in on? What do you tell them? There's 1,000 problems that can come up on a vehicle. How are you going to build my website to specifically target 1,000 different keywords? And then let's not even talk about SEO, because that's not even like website companies are pushing SEO like it's this thing that's going to magically transform your business. If you're ranked on maps, I'm ranked on maps. Not necessarily SEO. On certain keywords, I pop up. But I'm talking about the organic, the stuff at the bottom. Google puts maps content way before everything else. If you're not ranked on maps, I'm sorry, you're not going to show up. I do. And that's why I pull in a lot of people from Google without paying a dime to AdWords. But I want everybody to hear what he's saying. If you're not putting out consistent content, because people, when they have a problem, a pain point, like he's saying, this is so important. If people have a pain point, they're typing the pain point in. And if your website doesn't have great content that relates to that pain point, you're not going to show up. I don't care how much you spend on AdWords. And that's the thing. You could spend a ton on AdWords and then go out of business spending thousands and thousands of dollars. While Bill doesn't spend a dime on AdWords, but he puts out consistent content. And with that content, he's able to rank organically on that particular pain point, because he's putting out consistent content that addresses 1,000 different problems. And again, doesn't have to spend a dime on it. And nobody pushes that. It drives me nuts. YouTube is the number two search engine in the world. Number two. So if you're not putting out consistent content on YouTube, on top of the blog post, you're gonna fall off. You're gonna fall off the ranking. You know, you're not gonna show up on the internet. People that are gonna get the business of people that are doing these videos. And Bill, have you thought about just using that same material, sort of like Carm does? He takes one bit of material and he uses it over and over and over and over.
Yeah. So you know,
I've been that practicing. Blog post and turn it into a video.
Yeah, well, typically the way, you know, just to let a little bit of insights into how we process right now, typically what I'll do is I'll lay down a video track on whatever I want to discuss or write a blog article about. I'll ship that raw video off to my blog writers, which will convert that into a blog post. And then we have a cheap video editor that we utilize internally, and we create the video. So not only do you get the, we place the video on top of the blog post, so people have both options to view, and it goes into YouTube and the other outlets out there to distribute this content.
How long are the videos that you're producing?
You know, I try to keep them like 2 to 3 minutes.
2 to 3 minutes, yeah.
And then, you know, you can go longer form stuff too. You know, in the past, talking like David started out with the, you know, like the ebooks and stuff, longer form that you would give them a good benefit to convert them and actually get their information. You know, we would write one long form piece and then break it up into 3 or 4 blog posts, or we might reverse that and take 3 or 4 blog posts and turn them into an ebook. So it's kind of like the turkey dinner, and you know, you have leftovers.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's absolutely the way you should be handling it. You know, one topic can turn into 5. You know, people are going to consume it differently. You know, YouTube is and this is a Gary Vaynerchuk thing, right? YouTube is longer format, 7 to 10 minute. You can now post videos on like Instagram that are shorter, 1 to 2 minutes. I think 1 minute is
under
the,
10.
The max. Your Instagram consumption is shorter format, where YouTube, somebody may sit down and watch a longer video. You just watch your technicians. They go to lunch. What do? They pull up YouTube. And they watch 2 or 3 videos on their lunch hour. They're consuming it 7 to 10 minutes at a time on YouTube, where Instagram is just pull it up really quick, hit play, and then you move on. Yeah. Facebook is trying to do the same thing as YouTube, and I don't know what they're going to do there.
So we do too, is we, with that content, we try to go back and remarket. So we pixel people when they come to our website with Facebook. And so it doesn't appear, again, back to David, where you're trying to interrupt people's lives with advertising. Like, we'll take informational blog posts. Like, one of my most popular ones, it's really unrelated to anything we do, but in New Jersey, you can't buy a car on Sunday. You know, we have blue laws that cover the state. And you know, the thing is just making people aware of what you do. And so what we do is, like, if people visit our website, we pixel them, and we know that they're in the market for service or one of the things that we offer. Then we can go back and serve kind of like this fun content to just bring them back in the fold one more time to have another look at us. So,
great dialogue, guys. Thanks so much for this. Doug, I can't help but see you there, and you're about ready to open up a brand new 9-bay facility. And the challenge is that, I mean, how exciting. Congratulations to you. But what are the challenges that you foresee in, you know, making this thing, bringing all your customers in, and then growing it to the capacity that you have?
Well, I'm going to look into some inbound marketing, obviously, because it seems to be working. Those are things that I'm one of the guys that's been in business for 25 years. So we've grown the business over the time. So when I was thinking back to when I started with just me and another guy, you start thinking back to how we're going to manage it in this new facility. And it still is people buying from people, as far as I'm concerned in that regard. So, you know, that experience when they come in is where I think we need to focus. It's more front counter, more than back counter stuff, right? And that's where I think we're going to face some challenges, is getting into a new facility and then new people coming in and manage them as they come in.
Is it far from where you're current location is, or
it's on the same lot? So this new building's actually been built around my existing structure. So everybody's watched this thing build up around us, and it dwarfs what we've got, you know, our current 3-bay little shops. So people are talking to us in the community, you know, they're very excited and they want to see it. You know, they're going to want to come in. And
by the way, I've seen pictures of it. There's this little postage stamp original shop. Then there's this big L-shaped building that, like you said, Doug, dwarfs this.
A lot of people, like, we've been running out of 2 locations. So a lot of people didn't necessarily understand the size of our business. So when they looked at us, like, people have said those comments to me, well, what you guys are nuts. You went from 3 bays to 9 bays. Well, really, we went from 7 to 9. So it's not like we've growing and just brought everything under one roof, right? So those are the things, you know, we're going to focus on our processes. We're going to focus on, you know, explaining, showing what our digital inspection process looks like. That's a neat, I mean, it's still such a new thing that people have never seen. So, but I'm concerned, you know, that we lose opportunities too, right? So we're really going to have to track new people coming in through the door, making sure that they're being taken care of and at least given an opportunity to see what we're doing. And if it gets busy, of course, we're going to, you know, in the next 3 weeks is when we're going to do it, which is, of course, tire season, right? So there's a whole bunch of work going on in the background right now, getting tires organized and stuff so that we can try and make sure that when we hit the ground, we're rolling. So
Alberta, Canada, there's a little snow up there. You have snow tire season, huh?
It's already snowed 20 centimeters here, and people aren't putting their tires on yet because they know it's melting away. So we've, yeah, it'll be a interesting time. But
okay, so you're going to knock the old building down.
It goes down on the 15th.
It goes down on the 15th. Yeah. Big grand opening signs, big banners. People are going to come in just to want to see the new place in the new neighborhood. Yeah. Okay. So this isn't Facebook. It's not outbound marketing. It's real in-person live people marketing.
Right. From what I'm seeing and what I'm formulating in my head is I have to be on the floor present in the front office like every day. Right. Whereas right now I spend a good chunk of my time out of the picture. It's like now I got to go back into the picture.
I just had a mental thought, Doug, the Walmart greeter.
Right?
Exactly, sure. Right.
Yeah.
Hand out stickers.
Yeah, handing out stickers and smiley faces, yeah. So yeah, I think that's where we're going to be at. It's an opportunity to take advantage, but...
Let's brainstorm for Doug. Any ideas to throw at him on...
I think you mentioned something that's really critical, you know, that this is also part of the lead generation thing. I need to focus... My return customers spend 6 times more than my first time customers. So I need to get them in the door that second time. So how do I, and this is essentially what I'm working on, is how do I ensure I convert that first time customer into a repeat customer, into a second time customer?
There you go.
I'd love to hear it.
Give me the gist of the book.
Well, wait a minute. Time out. Bill, bring that name up so that I could add it to my book page.
Okay. So this is a book I just read recently and we're working on implementing to do exactly what David's talking about. It's by Joey Coleman, Never Lose a Customer Again. Turn Any Sale into a Lifelong Loyalty in 100 Days. So it lays out the whole process of what that 100 days looks like. And I can break down quickly what we're working on inside our store. You know, obviously that would be the perfect window for us because we want to see them within those next 100 days. And then the chance of you keeping them after that is incredibly high.
Yeah.
So we're working on, before the drop, we're trying to educate them, going back to what David was talking about. We're going to nurture the people from the time we take their first appointment. I've got three videos that we're storyboarding to bring to them so that they can understand what a vehicle drop looks like, what our work in process is here at the Boers Auto, and what they can expect at vehicle delivery time. So before they even come into the fold and into our store, they'll know exactly what they can expect. So then that day they check out, they're going to get that thank you email and text from us requesting a survey. Day three, we're going to have a follow-up phone call. We're also going to, on the third day, we're going to write out a handwritten thank you card to send out. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to use send out gift, and we're going to deliver those brownies gifts that people send out to people. So first time customers, and then they're going to move down. And again, this is all automated through our programming. So once we enroll them in a workflow, they're going to hit these trigger points. People in our store is going to get assign these tasks. And then, I have written right now in the 30 to 60 day window, we're going to put them into a custom Facebook audience to try to nurture them some more, like David was talking about. And then, you know, hopefully we pre-booked the appointment, and by day 90, they're getting those reminders and text alerts that they have an appointment coming soon. So
HubSpot is the facility that you're using?
That's what we're using. I mean, really what we're talking about is marketing automation. So there's a few of them out there.
Yeah. Infusionsoft was the other one that I was looking at. Yeah. ClickFunnels, another one. It's funny that you describe that. I can pull it up on my phone. I literally have a screenshot of a whiteboard, and we have that literally laid out. New customer calls in for an appointment. I send them the welcome video. This is what it looks like to drop off a vehicle at our shop. This is how we're going to communicate with you. This is what the DVI looks like. We just a quick video and a thank you. If they watch the video, they get another follow-up email with something that we're giving away, some bit of free information that they can download. They can hopefully use that to give it to other, hey, look what I got this from the shop. I've never been to the shop before, but they're giving away this free content. You know, I was thinking of something like, you know, 9 questions to ask your automotive service provider before any service. Just things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after the service, then the follow-up process begins. Because if we stay in front of them on a consistent basis in an automated fashion, like you're talking about, the likelihood of converting them from first to second time visitors goes up exponentially, right? And now the your customer list utilization skyrockets, right? These shops, like Doug, been in business for 25 years. If you look at your total customer list and how many of those customers are coming back in or how many customers you haven't seen in 12 months, right? You might get freaked out. You might think, oh, we take care of all our customers that are coming back in.
Oh, no. But I've run the report. You can see it. And, you know, so that parlays into the next thing. Well, then we go, oh, well, it's because they're going to Quick Loops, right? So maybe we should, and that's where I come up with that. You know, we were talking, maybe we put in an appointment oil change. The potential hazards and disasters I see coming along with that, and is that really the problem, or do we need to do a better job of what you guys are talking about up front? And to me, my gut keeps pulling more to what you're talking about versus putting in a quick service, because the quick service client isn't my avatar client. They're not the ones that
they're showing.
Bring me what I need to bring, right? So you put up no appointment oil change, they're in for 50, you know, they're here for 45 minutes, they leave you a 1-star negative review because you took too long. You could have done a great service, but you didn't meet, because you were quick, their expectation. That's where my head's at, that we're gonna cause a whole bunch of problems. So
and that's I mean, you mentioned something specifically that, again, that's the other thing, is you can go out of business spending money to try to attract customers that you have really no intention or you really don't want in your business, right? It's that 80-20 rule, right? And so if they're, what you need to do is sit down and build your, you know, Ron Ipack calls it the customer avatar. Everybody calls it something different, but it's essentially your ideal customer, right? And if that ideal customer is somebody that would visit a Quick Lube place, then yeah, you would need to have one. But if your ideal customer doesn't go to the Quick Lube places because they value, for example, your inspection process.
That's what they say.
Yeah. No, you need to look at it, right? But it's two things. It's not just. Well, they value it, but I'm not open during. I don't provide them enough convenience for them to drop what they're doing and come back to me specifically. Right. In other words, they don't value the time that they have to give up on the weekday, during the weekday, versus the DVI. And that's what you need to look at. Maybe it is just providing them more loaners or some other avenue that's not necessarily the Quick Lube.
Right.
So if your ideal customer doesn't go to a Quick Lube, then there's no reason to build
up,
a Quick Lube.
Up to this stage, we do see them once in a while, and you've mentioned why, because it was a pinch. They were going on a trip. It was a Saturday. They had to go in and the engine, the little light's telling them you have to change your oil, and they do it, right? So
Ben, you mentioned something there. If you had stayed in front of them, they would have gotten that alert. They would have gotten that email. They would have gotten that text message saying, hey, you're coming up due.
Yeah,
hey, and we do the phone. Let's get this scheduled before your next, oh, I'm going on a trip in 2 weeks.
We do the mechanic net marketing and all that stuff, but you know, what Bill's talking about is on a
different level.
Higher level.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Which I can see it makes a big difference, right? So
with the specific idea of getting that repeat 2 to 3 to 4 time a year visit, really targeting that top 20% and making sure they're coming in 3 to 4 times a year like you expect them to, and doing whatever you have to do to target that audience and get them coming in. And that's why we're talking about creating those funnels. You put that customer in the funnel, and it allows you to stay in front of them enough to make sure that they keep coming back in, however it is, you know, even if it's a kickback coupon, you know, that you leave in the car. There's 1,000 different ways.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at from an, and so is Bill, from an automated standpoint. How do I just flip the switch and let the process do its job? And I will see that customer come in over and over and over again.
Sounds like a great thing to christen the shop, the new shop with, Doug.
Yeah, well, it'll be easier than trying to put a quick lube in, right?
Yeah. You know what? Think about it. Take your time, your money, your energy, and put it into a program like that.
If I can just share a quick minute too, like, you know, I have some cost involved with creating the content. I pay a blog writer and stuff, but you know, the articles that I've written 4 years ago are still delivering today. I mean, when you send out that postcard, poof, that money's gone, you know, where this is more of an investment and it keeps on bringing the revenue back in.
I tell you what, I've noticed one thing too with posts that we do is that sometimes people aren't necessarily interested in just hearing about what we do, but they're really interested in hearing about the people that we have doing it. They, you know, they want to hear about my staff and they want to hear about what they're doing. And they, you know, I was caught a bit off guard by some of that, you know, you were showing them how a brake job looks or a bad part in an engine, you put it on there. And I get way more response back from talking about my people and what we do in those social worlds versus, that was something I found was really interesting.
Your customers want to see you and know you before they even do business with you. And you got to make sure that that's available on your website or, you know, wherever else they may find you, that's available.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a misconception too. I think Bill nailed it right there. That's a constant misconception. How many posts do you see automotive shop putting that broken part? Hey, look at this broken part. Look at this wheel that's wiggling as you're going down the road. Everybody puts that content out. My most engaged with email that I recently sent out was my end of summer follow-up or recap is what it was. And it was just a picture of me and my kids and my wife, you know, doing summer stuff, going on vacation. That's all it was. It got a ton more clicks and opens and engagement than anything else I had put out there.
Right.
You know, and it was just pictures of my kids. Like, so yeah, absolutely. I mean, people want to know about you. They want to be able to connect with you on a personal level and the people in your shop. It doesn't have to be broken parts. Nobody cares about broken parts. No. They care about people, and that's what they'll engage with. That's something, again, that's something else nobody talks about. It's frustrating because the same stuff is pushed out by any of those CRM companies. You know, they put out these templates for you to use to send out to customers for an email form because email's cheap, right? And it's the same stuff over and over and over again. It's like the one person just copied and then they caught another person copied them and another person copied them. Nobody brings it to that base level. I said, whoa, first formulate your message. You got to have a unique message because there's 50 shops in your area. You need to have that unique message. What is your message? Nobody starts with that. Nobody ever talks about that. I mean, if I had to, you know, I had to pin you down, Doug, and say, what's your unique message? What message are you providing to your customers that's unique to the guy across the street from you, down the street from you? You know, what is it? And if you don't have that, you know, I bet you ask 1,000 shop owners and 999, maybe Bill, and that's it. Nobody else knows. Nobody else is like, well, we fix cars. Like, great. Everybody.
Well, and it all sounds like the same thing, right? You're right. Everybody's saying the same message. So is it a real message? No.
It's not unique enough to attract
people. People don't care either, right? I mean, so you've been in business for 35 years. What's that mean to me today, you know?
Right, exactly.
You're only as good as your last at bat, you know? Getting back to, you know, generating content and stuff, Marcus Sheridan's got a great book out there too. You can add that to your list, Carm. It's They Ask, You Answer. And it's all about the questions. If you go through and you catalog all the questions that we answer day in and day out and just start creating material around that. And you know, it would take you a little while, but it's exactly what people are looking for. That's why you have them all over and over again. A big one too is like Versus. We have some competitors in town. You write fair and balanced Versus articles. You know, this is what this guy does better. This is what we do better. And it's what people want to hear.
Transparency, absolutely.
Yeah. You want to talk about your costs, you know, cost-based problems, their problems, your problems, comparisons. Like I was saying, you want to have best of lists. That's what he all talks about in this book.
Yeah, I was talking to a shop owner recently, and I said, well, we write a physical, well, we release, we don't write it, we buy it, right? But we send out a physical paper newsletter, right? To send to my top 500 customers. That's all I do, top 500 customers. And I send it out on a monthly basis. And his response was, I'm not a very good writer. Well, you don't have to be a good writer, right? Like you're saying, Bill, just get a video camera, use your phone, right? Set up the video and rant into it and send that content to a writer that can then turn that into a blog post. And you can cut up the video and put it up on YouTube. But that's all you need to do. And blog writers are surprisingly freelancers are very, very inexpensive. And if you consider the cost of a freelance blog writer versus sending out 1,000 postcards that you have to send out 3 times to get a response from, it's much, much cheaper. And the content's evergreen, like you're saying. It stays there forever. You can use it over and over and over again.
I love where this thing went. I'm not sure it's over yet, but I have a couple of comments. I've been sitting in here going, ooh, 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 I want to say a few things. Uncopyable by Steve Miller is a book that's on my website, and I read it. I read the first chapter, then I consumed it over like a day and a half. And, you know, it's all about what you were saying, Bill, or David. You guys were really saying what makes me different than the guy down the street, and the book being uncopyable is just, it's just great. And I'm working on having Steve on the show. You mentioned Ideal Customer, David. We've done 2 Town Hall Academies on that exact subject. Please look at the website for that. And the thing that really shocked me, David, returned customers spend 6 times more than a current. So it seems...
That's at my shop. Every shop, I'm sure, has their own number.
That's okay. Good.
My number is surprisingly high. That's crazy to see the difference between those. I also saw that the more my first-time customer spends on that first visit, the more likely they are to come back. I thought that was interesting, too. So, again, that's why I went down that road, like Bill was saying, is building that, setting that customer up, or at least, you know, building that expectation for that customer. So you send out those videos, the welcome video, that this is how we do it video. You want to try to build rapport and trust before they even walk in the door. You want them to already have their guard down. So when you do look over the vehicle and you find $2,000 worth of work, they're likely to say yes. And if they've spent that much with you, they're much more likely to come back for that second visit.
Well, the other thing it does too, David, you know, as much as it warms people into your circle, it also repels the people that aren't a good fit too, right?
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
If they see what you're doing, they're like, you know, this guy probably charges more than the other guy that has the coupons. Maybe I'll go see him.
Or this guy's going to find a bunch of stuff and I don't want to know what's wrong with my car. I just want to oil change and bebop down the road with everything wrong with it. And I don't want to know.
We don't need his fancy report. So,
exactly.
It goes both ways.
I love the videos that you're talking about, you know, a little bit about the inbound and what happens. And my thought was on this whole retention piece, you've got a customer that it comes to you the first time. Your goal, David, would be to bring them back again and get that 6 times number. And if you could put them in a funnel, I would think that you'd want to make a video called What's Next?
There you go.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and copy that.
Please do, because you know that's what I do so well is I sit and I'm inspired by everything that you're saying, and I'm thinking, how do I get that person to understand what's next? We could be scheduling out, you know, like a dental appointment, you know, in 6 months. By the way, what's next? Did our service writer schedule you out for your next appointment? And if not, you know, we're going to be contacting you soon. Let's be sure we do that. And you know, don't forget, we've we've got our hotline and we've got videos online. And
look at all this great content I've released, and look at all these videos we have available for you. Ask away any question, email us anytime. We're going to send you our newsletter. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a minute and a half love fest with your customer.
That's great.
Reassuring them why you came.
And you know who's engaged and who's not engaged too. I mean, you think about once we have them in our system, you know, the availability to see how much of that video they watched, how many of those emails did they open, what websites did they look at before they called us. I mean, you're talking about real hard statistics that we can measure against and improve upon as we roll down the road.
So this went beyond my thinking here of what you guys, you dropped a lot of bombs here, and they were good. And I'm happy you were here. It was insightful. It was trending. And frankly, I think necessary to have this discussion. Doug, 9 weeks, you say? When's the shop opening?
We will have all the hoists moved in. We'll be working out of it by about the 20th of October. So 3.5 weeks, yeah.
Well, congratulations. What a big project to bite off. Oh, excited for you?
Yeah, we're pretty excited too. Thank you.
How long did it take to go from concept to shoveling ground?
Started in January with the builders. Shovels went in ground in May, long weekend, and 6 months later we'll be in the building.
Whoa. Yeah.
We got some great guys working. They worked all summer on it. So
good for you.
Yeah, we're pretty happy.
Look at this was so good, you know, I may have to have you guys back. This exact, you know, trio. And maybe, David, you're ready to talk then about, you know, what you've implemented. Bill, you can inspire us all as to all the things you're doing. And Doug, you can tell us all the great marketing tools you put together to grow the new store.
Well, absolutely. I got a lot of work ahead of me here because there's some great stuff to come out of this for me today. Yeah. Honestly, it did. It was great for me, guys. Thank you.
Not only were you on the show, you were a student of the show here.
I've got notes. Yeah, it's good. It's been really good. Thank you.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much to Doug Callahan, Vic's Auto Service, Wainwright, Alberta, where it's snow tire season. David Roman, done with Auto Care Auto Repair in Merriam, Kansas, and Bill DeBoyer, Boyer's Auto Service and Sales, Hamburg, New Jersey. Guys, great job. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Hey, thank you, Doug, David, and Bill, for your unending devotion to providing value to your customers and for your ideas on organic reach for new customers. Hey, the key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E368. Hey, please don't forget to check out the new books page on the website and write me, you know, because I love to hear from you. Carm@remarkableresults.biz. That's biz. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.